As you've heard me say over the past few weeks during adult Bible study time after church, we've been looking at how Jesus is presented in the Gospel of Matthew, since we're in the year of Matthew. And we've noted that Jesus is a teacher in Matthew, and Jesus is a storyteller. And the third piece that we want to look at is Jesus as Savior. But because we're going to be busy with pancakes after church today, I thought we'd do this one here today, especially since it relates really well, I think, to the story of the Transfiguration. You may remember that it's in the Gospel of Matthew where the angel who appears to Joseph tells him specifically, you are to call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus literally means God saves. So right from the start, we know this about the story of Matthew, that Matthew is telling us that Jesus isn't just someone special, but that Jesus is special because of what he will do and be for us. And in the baptism story, we get our first glimpse into this deep connection that God has through Jesus for the sake of all people. This is my son, the beloved, the voice at the baptism announces. The Transfiguration is another place where we get this special insight that God is doing something new and unique. But it's also not accidental that the disciples are present at this event, that they are there to see Jesus speaking to Moses and Elijah, that they see Jesus radiating the presence of God. For they are meant to experience God in the cloud and hear God say, listen to him. Not just follow Jesus, not just make him your king. Even the Gospels are pretty clear, as it doesn't even really say that we are supposed to bow down and worship this Jesus. In Matthew, God's plan for salvation is revealed when people listen to Jesus and then do what he tells them. I think that's perhaps something we in today's church miss about the faith that we claim. Maybe it's because of the, I don't know, sensationalism surrounding the big holidays, Christmas and Easter. Maybe it's because these are the two parts of the story that are more or less done for us, done to us. At Christmas, God gives us baby Jesus. At Easter, Jesus gives himself on the cross for us, and God raises Jesus from the tomb. Let's face it, it's the stuff in the middle. The stuff that involves other people. The stuff that makes us look at ourselves and ask, am I listening to Jesus? Am I doing the things that Jesus calls me to do? Transfiguration Sunday is sort of a bridge kind of day. It takes us from the season of Epiphany into the season of Lent. Each of the big seasons has one of these. Holy Trinity Sunday between Easter and Pentecost. Christ the King before we start into Advent again. And a bridge is meant for at least two things. It's for getting from here to there. That's the utilitarian purpose of a bridge. But a bridge also provides a place for us to see that both our past, what's behind us, and what's ahead of us in our future have meaning. It matters where we've come from and where we are going. And if we're focused on what Jesus is telling us, listening to Jesus as God has commanded us, it matters what he said in the past and what he's going to be telling us in the future. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus brings to us salvation by what he's done in the past, but also by what he's going to do and what he's going to have us do in the future. These two things are evident in the story of the Transfiguration. Jesus takes only a few disciples, and he leaves the typical road. He leaves the path that they've been traveling on. He goes up a mountain, probably more of a hill or a bluff. This is actually the place where people say the Transfiguration happened, Mount Tabor in southern Galilee. But it's probably important not to get too tied up in the details. Where it happened, why Moses and Elijah, why the voice from the cloud, why does Peter want to build three tents and stay a while? The point of the Transfiguration of Jesus is the same point being made at his baptism, that this is the one we've been waiting for, the one that means that there's no more need for searching. Jesus is the one. So like I said, Jesus is the Savior, at least according to Matthew, because Jesus is the teacher, because Jesus is the storyteller, because Jesus shows us how to be the people God needs us to be. And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because Jesus isn't out to save just you and me. Jesus is out to save the whole world through us. In Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that everyone may see all the good that you do and give glory to God." We are made to be lights that shine the goodness of God. So when we care for one another, when we share our food or help someone in some way, we are creating a space where God will also save the person that is in need of help. And when they give thanks, either to us or more appropriately directly to God, that is a moment of salvation. That is the moment when God is glorified instead of some other false god, some other system of our world, or the ego that lives in us. Then God is glorified and salvation takes place. In the story of the mustard seed, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone planted in the ground. And even though it's a really small seed, it grows up to be a shrub that is it's a perfect place for birds to build their nests. You and I, we are the mustard seeds. And the kingdom of God happens when you and I plant ourselves in the work that is needed in our community for the sake of our neighbors, for the sake of those in need, for the sake of those perhaps even that are against us. Then when others are able to rest and find wholeness within this thing that has grown because of us, then salvation happens to those who are served. And when Jesus heals the paralyzed man who was brought to him by his friends, he actually doesn't heal him right at first, but he says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Nothing's happened yet, except that these friends, these other people, have brought him to the mercy of Jesus. And Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." Salvation has already come to the paralyzed man, not because of the words or actions of Jesus directly, but because of the actions of his friends. You know, forgiveness isn't so much about what we do, but about what is done for us and around us. Sin is about being excluded, about being taken away from all that we know to be good, love and community and hope. Sin, either our own or that of others, robs us of God's goodness. So forgiveness is a restoration of all that is good. When the friends of the paralyzed man see how he suffers, how he is excluded, how he is not able to experience the fullness of life, and when they when they know that Jesus has something that can help him, they save him by bringing him to Jesus. Or probably more correctly, God saves him through these friends by bringing him to Jesus. And because Jesus sees this act of salvation, Jesus says, "You are forgiven. And stand up and walk." Which, of course, gives the healed man countless opportunities to be a source of hope and salvation to so many other people. Do you ever get caught in that situation where it's kind of one of those pay it forward kind of things at the drive-thru? When the person ahead of you has paid for your order, and the person at the window says, "Would you like to pay for the person's order behind you?" And you say, "Well, what did they order?" And you just hope that they didn't have a huge order, or maybe rather something similar to what you were expecting to pay. But if not, then you have to be the chump who breaks the cycle. People who work at fast food restaurants and Starbucks places say that sometimes these things can go on for dozens of cars, all because one person decided to pay for their own coffee and the order of the person behind them. Salvation is kind of like that. Salvation is God teaching us to pay for the person who comes behind us. God has paid for our order, has decided to take on our burden. God is teaching us to carry the burden of the other in place of ours. And sometimes the person behind us is going to have a huge order. We might have ordered just a simple latte, but the person in the car behind us has ordered a venti, mochi, chai, frappuccino, triple shot, double whip and foam, and plus a blueberry muffin heated up. Sometimes the burden that God is asking us to lift on behalf of the other seems unfair. Seems like we shouldn't have to take on the problems of others. Perhaps that's why Jesus goes back to the image of the mustard seed and tells the disciples, "If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to a mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will do so." Faith is knowing that whatever kind of burden God has asked us to carry, even one that seems unfair or impossible, God will give us the strength and the resources and the will to do it. Jesus is our Savior, both because of who he is and the burden of the cross that he has chosen to carry, but Jesus is also our Savior because of who he has made us to be. In the Transfiguration, Jesus is shown to be exactly what God has given in all of his glory, with the backing of the tradition and the faith personified in Moses and Elijah. But the disciples and you and me are also meant to see what God is doing in Jesus, not to be awed with wonder, not to build a couple of tents and stay on the mountain forever, but to know that this is the light that God is shining through us too. When we listen to Jesus and become the people Jesus will make us to be. As we cross this bridge of Transfiguration Sunday, let us look back on the good things that God has made in us in the past. And let us also see how and when we have been forgiven. And most importantly, let us look forward to the opportunities for hope and salvation to come in the season ahead. Amen.